second conference, we're going to pick up on the font of the Lord's precious blood. He simply calls it the font of blood. And of course, the Lord's blood is precious. Now here we're considering the precious blood of Jesus offered in his passion and death and offered in every holy mass every day throughout the world. While we have a specific font for the precious blood of Jesus, we see from the words we've heard from Jesus that other fonts are included, like the font of prayer, of reparation, and love, and so forth. So how would you apply this font in the prayer that we've been using, the introductory prayer? Maybe you could read this way. Jesus, in your will, and in the fonts of reparation and your precious blood, I offer you the precious blood consecrated in every Mass today in atonement for all the sins of the world. May all the Masses celebrated today that have been already celebrated in the past, and think of the thousands, millions, and will be celebrated in the future, be accepted to satisfy for all the sins of the world, past, present, and future. May the hearts of all your people be cleansed of all sin and every evil inclination. I would gather every drop of your precious blood shed in the Garden of Gethsemane, in your awful scourging, in your most painful crowning with thorns, on the road to Calvary, your cruel stripping at the cross, and your unbelievable crucifixion and piercing with the lance, all united with your precious blood consecrated in every Mass. May this infinitely holy gift, placed before the Most Holy Trinity, satisfy your divine justice and atone for all the sins of your poor, misguided people. May it bring countless graces of conversion of souls and holy renewal in your love and all the virtues and gifts of your Holy Spirit. May this humble prayer be accepted as if all your people together offered it with great love. Amen. Now, what should come across to you is that you're not alone praying. See, in other words, you can say, I want all the people in the world to be saved, and the Lord will say, done. Because when you pray in me, I'm in touch with all the people of the world. And when you have that intention, it is I praying with you too. So I give it my holiness also. Now, she offered this prayer that I'm going to quote from her prayer book of the Divine Will. Notice how her prayer embodies the fonts of reparation and that of the precious blood. She starts out, Jesus, I find all generations in your will, because by his omnipresence, they're all there, all mankind, past, present, and future. And in the name of the entire human family, I adore you, I kiss you, and I make reparation for everyone. I give your most holy wounds and your most precious blood to everyone, so that everyone may find salvation. And if the lost souls can no longer take advantage of your most precious blood nor love you, I make it mine to do myself what they should have done. I do not want your love to be cheated in any way by any creature. I want to make good for everyone, make reparation to you, and love you for everyone, from the first to the last man. Amen. Now here we remind you of the very appropriate prayer called the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. After the Our Father, Hail Mary, and the Apostles' Creed, we say, Eternal Father, I offer you the precious body and blood, soul and divinity of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and privately I add, and his merits offered in every Mass today, for the sake in atonement for my sins and the sins of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Now, that's recited 10 times, in case you didn't know this. This is for those that will hear this conference. Using the 5 decades of the Rosary, at the end we add, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world 3 times, and followed by, O blood and water that gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain, notice that, fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. Again, three times. Now, each one of us can form his, her, or her own prayer as the Holy Spirit inspires us. A prayer that I say at every Mass, that I celebrate when I raise the chalice of the precious blood is this: Father, in reparation for all the sins of the world today, for the salvation of all the dying, for the release of all the souls in purgatory, and the sanctification of all the sufferings in the world today. Now, you might want to add that if you want to, when you are at the consecration at that time. Say that prayer quietly. And now the font of what we call glory, and that would include praise. Our first obligation in life is to love God with all our heart, might, and strength, and our neighbors, ourselves. The next obligation is to glorify God. In other words, to honor, esteem, praise, and bless Him. In the Our Father, we say, Hallowed be thy name. And in the hymn of praise, in the Mass, we say, Glory to God in the highest. This is the constant hymn sung in heaven by the angels and saints. Jesus taught Louisa to celebrate this kind of prayer in what is called praying in the round. It is a beautiful way of glorifying God with all of creation. And we do that if you know the Christian prayer. Bless the Lord, all you works of the Lord. Praise and exalt Him above all forever. Then it goes through all the different choirs of saints on earth, and all the birds, all the seas, and all the different parts of God's creation. So our prayer could be worded in this way. Jesus, I am nothing, you are everything. In your divine will and in your font of prayer and glory, let it be you who now pray and glorify the most holy Trinity in me. Let it be your voice in me, and as I now move into your divine life, you are present in all of creation. With your own holiness, I unite myself with all your angels and all the saints of heaven, and also unite myself with all the faithful on earth, and all the masses being celebrated throughout this day by your priests, bishops, and cardinals, and the Holy Father. With all these devoted ones, and with one voice, united to your voice, I want to say, I love you, thank you, adore you, praise you, and bless you. May this hymn of thanks, adoration, praise, and blessing reach you in all your creatures, in all your created life, all the living creatures, birds, animals, fish, and all other things, flowers, trees, fruits of the earth, mountains, oceans, in every stone, every leaf, every blade of grass, every drop of water, in the stars of heaven, the sun, and the universe. May you hear repeated with every moment of the day, Lord, I love you, adore you, thank you, praise you, and bless you. May you see it written in all your creation so that day and night, at every moment, you will receive the praise, love, and glory you so deserve. May this be joined to every prayer, act, and every glorious and heroic virtue of Jesus, his most holy life, together with those of our Blessed Mother, Queen of the Divine Will. And since in you there is no time, but all is present, may all who have gone before us be united with us in this hymn of glory and praise, and also all who yet follow after us. I will repeat this with every beat of my heart, every breath I take today. And still you are not glorified and praised by everyone. For all those who hate you, blaspheme you, persecute you, for every such heart, I would like to substitute my I love you, praise you, bless you, adore you, thank you, so that no one on earth is left out of the glory and praise that you so deserve. Amen. Now you can say, Lord, I want to repeat this every moment of the day. You've said it once, and there are 20 lines. And you say, Lord, I repeat, want to tell you what I've said this morning. Please accept it as done. And he'll say, done. Now, this prayer of glory and praise can be offered in shorter form. Most Holy Trinity, in your divine will with Jesus in his sacred heart, I love you, thank you, adore you, praise you, and bless you. with all your saints and angels, the faithful, and in all the masses being offered today. May you hear it with every beat of my heart, with every breath I take up to my last breath. Amen. Now, that's only four lines. Now, these are only examples. You can develop that in your own way. Now, what about the font of healing? Jesus doesn't mention that, but he mentions gifts. Well, there is a gift of healing. And doesn't he want to make that available to everybody? I would think so, because all the sacraments are healing, including marriage. Marriage should be healing. Pray for each other. Well, Jesus does not mention healing by name as a font, but he does say gifts, and healing would come under this heading. Although we may not have the gift of healing as a ministry, each of us might invoke this gift or font as we pray for healing at some time of special need. This might be a special way of praying for healing when we have occasion to pray for someone. We might begin our prayer as we did with the other fonts. Jesus, I am nothing, you are everything. In your divine will and moving in your creative life, let it be your voice in mine, and your divine power and healing love touch the heart of my mother. Now add the names of anyone else. Your grandmother, your uncle, your aunt, your son, daughter, your cousin, and so forth. Restore, for example, if you're praying for heart, restore her heart to normal. Remove any blood clots or obstructions in the arteries. See that heart beating normally and a healthy color. And continue to say, thank you for all the healings you are bestowing at this moment. If you can, pray with the gift of tongues. Allow the Holy Spirit to use you in this precious gift. Apply this way of praying to all other forms of illness with appropriate words for particular illnesses. In other words, arthritis, migraine, high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, tumors, infections, fevers, leukemia, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, emotional illness, spiritual healing, conversion from sin, so on. And so it's up to you then to develop that. I'm just giving you little models that you could develop under your own need and also with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, what about one of the most precious of all gifts, wisdom? We should all pray for that. Ask for it. Now, here too, we might consider wisdom as a font, since it is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus mentions that he has opened many fonts for our use, other than the few that he mentioned. This particular gift, or font, can be used on many occasions, spiritually for a word of wisdom, or someone seeking direction in their spiritual life, or seeking advice of us about some aspect of the spiritual life. This can be especially useful for priests in confession or spiritual direction, but also by lay people for the many phases of their spiritual life, especially their prayer life. It is especially valuable for giving sermons, conferences, retreats, writing books, also for lay people who write letters or in a position of teaching, for parents in the guidance of their children, or businessmen. God is the best businessman ever. In all the aspects of their secular life, it would also involve decisions to be made about housekeeping, family life. Wisdom as a spiritual gift or font, as we are dealing with it here, would apply especially to our spiritual life. A prayer would be, first of all, wisdom may be defined as saying or doing the right thing at the right time in the right place. Any one of those you're missing would not be wisdom, as it should be. You can say something is wise, but it not be maybe the right time. They're not ready for it, or it's not the right place. It is also the ability to move the heart of one's listeners to love God through the knowledge being imparted to them. The ability to present knowledge with love. When praying, we can begin with the usual introduction. Jesus, I am nothing. You are everything. in your infinite wisdom and your mind that I speak. It is in your wisdom, infinite wisdom, and your mind that I speak. Grant to the soul of, and then mention the person, and ask that they might be given wisdom to make the wise application of the truth in their decision about, let's say, a person's vocation in life. The petition may apply to many things, to one's marriage, the children, their education, training, one's religious upbringing, growth in prayer, particular virtue, one's relationships, a matter of conscience, in business dealings, or some particular truth of our faith. And now you may continue. With your loving wisdom, bring him your peace in his decision. Let all be done in your holy will. Amen. Now remember one of the teachings of Jesus about action done in the divine will. He said, a person who does an act in the divine will grows in power, love, holiness, and wisdom for each action he performs. So that includes what you call prosaic. Every time you do the dishes, but you're doing it because Jesus wants it, not because it has to be done, but you do it because he wants it, and he does it with you in that sense. Then he says, you grow in power, love, holiness, and wisdom. Now, a person might use this font of wisdom when reading Holy Scripture or some spiritual writing on the mystical life or one of the great mysteries of our faith, for example, the Holy Trinity, the divine indwelling, the Eucharist, and the various stages of prayer, especially the prayer of contemplation. A brief prayer that might be said could run something like this: Jesus, in your divine will, be my wisdom. Remember the words of St. Paul, 1 Corinthians 1:30. God made him, Jesus, our wisdom, our justice, our redemption, and the last word is our holiness. Jesus is available for us at all times and is everything for us. So now if he is that, then why should we hedge on these different fonts? Because everything comes from him, right? He's the giver of the gifts. So if he's going to be with us in everything we do, then all these fonts or resources are available to us. Let's look at what we call discernment. This gift, or if you want to call it a font, helps us to know the truth or falsity of something we hear or read or see. We especially need this during this time of great confusion in this year of 1997. Even from some of our altars, we hear conflicting statements made by some priests that are contradicted in other churches, or maybe in the same church by another priest. Namely, that the Eucharist is only a symbol and not the true body and blood of Christ, that there is no hell, and if there's no hell, there's no devil. A disbelief in miracles or all private revelations that are supported by many sound theologians and even bishops. Attacks on the Holy Father and his authority. Very liberal statements regarding sexual conduct and homosexuality, and so many other things. Now the prayer would be, Jesus, I am nothing, you are everything, in your divine will and through the use of the font of discernment, may I see the truth of what this visionary or locutionist is saying. Also, this homily that you're listening to in the church, this conference, this book that I'm reading, this cassette tape that I'm listening to, or videotape, this teaching of the classroom or lecture, let it be with your mind that I see the truth or falsehood of what is being presented to me. In your name, Jesus, if what is being presented is not coming from you, let it be exposed as false. May I see where it is false, that I may defend you and the truths of your faith. Please grant this gift and the use of this font to all our priests, bishops, and cardinals, all our teachers, meaning theologians, writers, and also to parents and those in authority. That would be one way how you would apply that. Now, that covers a number of what we call fonts, as well as gifts that might be considered as fonts or resources. And with maybe further study, as we get to know more of her writings, there are 36 volumes. So far, we have only about 18. The others have yet to be released. Now, what about the effects? What are the effects that follow? Remember, Jesus said, when you shake the font, he considered it like a water. When you shake it, then sometimes it's so strong that it covers the entire world. Because I'm praying that too. So God, in other words, covers all the world. He said it may be so strong that it even reaches heaven. Well, the divine will forms a single act with multiple effects continuously. This is a very deep thought here. Keep in mind now, with God, everything is now. The past is with him, present is with him, and the future, because he knows all that's going to happen. And it will happen. So it's with him then. So past, present, and future are always with him. And one thing that's good will also continue. He revealed the wonderful effects of our acts done in the divine will. In volume 19, if you have that, pages 92 to 95, and I'm quoting them here. First, he tells us that his own life on earth in his humanity consisted of many actions externally, while in his divinity it was united to the single act of his divine will as God. While the external acts were completed in time, they continue to exist in the divine will forever. He said, all that I did in my human life remains in act and as a continuous act, because all that goes out from God remains in God and does not undergo change, neither increasing or decreasing. So I was always being conceived, always being born, always crying, always preaching, suffering, crucified. So my divine will maintained and is maintaining all my human life in act. It maintains life in all the actions of my humanity without losing even one of my breaths. Now that's a deep thought. Now this is the Lord revealing, this is not in Scripture, but the Lord is revealing other things. Scripture, in other words, only an outline. So Jesus' life on earth is being constantly presented to the Blessed Trinity and offered at each moment to glorify God, to redeem mankind, atone for the sins of the world. Nothing is lost. And the fruits of his redeeming life on earth are always there. Jesus said, in my will, you will become identified in my acts and you will take the fruits of all my life. Now, he goes on to explain how the soul that lives in the divine will enters into that single act which exists in God in his divine life. He says, once the soul receives the gift of the divine will and does the will of God, it enters his level without, of course, becoming God. Then the blessings of such acts done in the divine will have a holiness and goodness that God can give them. So in the use of the different fonts that Jesus mentions, this has a special meaning. He says, your prayer, your love, your thanksgiving, and all that you can do take place in an eternal beginning that never ends. In other words, it's always continuing. And therefore, they acquire the fullness of the nature of goodness. Your prayer acquires the full value, the complete fruit, in a manner that you yourself are not able to understand, where the fruits and the goods of your prayer are extended. That is, their influence on the world and souls. None of us, for example, even in our normal prayer, don't see how God responds to them and how many graces he may give to people. Do you know where all the graces you pray for are given? No. You trust his infinite love and mercy. And what he's saying here, the vastness of it is beyond even your imagination. Your prayer, it will go around eternally. It will be given to everyone, and at the same time, always remain full in its effects. Because whatever is in God is never lost. So it always stands. Now, this is something that we did learn in theology, and these theologians who examined this said, we can't contradict it because nothing like this has ever been said. And we're talking about God's inner life, and who can speak about it better than God himself? And so he's giving this poor, humble woman words that she couldn't even understand herself. But theologians who have spent their whole life studying God's nature have to say, this is not contradictory what we know about God, but we could have never known this by ourselves. Now he says, your love acquires the nature of true love, of that unshakable love that never faints and never ends, that loves everyone and gives itself to everyone, and remains always with the fullness of the good of the nature of true love. In other words, it's not exhausted, it brings blessings to everyone. Why? Because it's not our love. Remember how we started praying, I'm nothing, you're everything. And Jesus said, without me, you can't do anything. He's saying, with me, you can pray. So again, it comes back to that one sentence in Scripture. See, without me, nothing. With me, everything. Now, to everyone that enters into my will, he says, the creative force of my will communicates its very nature and converts them into its actions, because it will not allow in itself what is not like its own. So in other words, Jesus says, when you pray, I pray. So it takes on the character of me praying. And this is what he says here. It takes a character that is part of the me, my will. There's a lot of deep thought here. And I'm giving it to you as it is for you to think about it, pray about it, and ask the Lord to give you deeper insights. Do you understand the Gospels perfectly? I don't. If you do, praise God, then you better teach me. Now, the insights given here are very profound and could be misunderstood. Remember, we do not become God in our nature. We share in it, but it doesn't make us God. See, your spirit and mind came directly from the Father. So it's part of him. But we are not God because we had a beginning. See, God has no beginning. But we are invited to join him in his divine life by this gift of the divine will. Even in baptism, we share sanctifying grace as the theological term for God's life. So as Jesus said, when you are in my divine will, then I am in you, and I do what you are doing. Didn't he say in the Last Supper too, that they might be one, as you are in me, I in you, they in me. Doesn't that fit in here too? But did we think it meant all this that he's revealing now? No. So you see, private revelation is also a commentary on the gospel when it is authentic. So as Jesus said, when you are in my divine will, then I am in you, and I do what you are doing. It is I who pray, and you are joining me. It is I who suffer, you are suffering in me. I who work, and you work with me, and so on, throughout your day. He said, it can be said that the acts of the creature done in my will enter into the inscrutable ways of God, nor can all the innumerable effects, the influence of these actions, be known. Now, I'm adding this. Our minds, which are created, cannot grasp what has no beginning or end, like the single act of God that has no beginning or end. We believe, whatever description the Lord gives. He goes on to say, all divine things and all that enters into my will becomes unsearchable, impenetrable. Therefore, look at the great good of operating in my will, and to what a high level the soul rises as the nature of goodness is returned to the soul as it went forth from my will in our creation. In its creation, the soul was pure, innocent, and good. Original sin brought the effects of Adam's sin to us. Rebellion of our feelings, appetites, disinclination to goodness, a limited knowledge of God and creation. These are only some of the bad effects. So you can see now a background of knowledge of what we call, it's called theodicy. That has to do with the knowledge of God and God's nature. But that doesn't mean you're stupid and you're that simple that you can't grasp some of these ideas. But we'll never grasp the fact that God had either beginning or end. How could that be? We have to accept it. God tells us that. See, I am. Well, I want to add this conclusion. In our use of the fonts of love, prayer, reparation, forgiveness, precious blood, glory and praise, and so on, all the blessings that we can bring to God's people are beyond our imagination, and they continue to bring blessings on and on, in other words, through time, to all those for whom we prayed, because an action of reparation done in the Lord is there always as an interceding prayer. You didn't say that alone. You said, Jesus, in your will, I pray. Then he says, I make it mine. If it is his, then it's there forever as an intercessory prayer. Now that's something new. We say the rosary once, well, that's gone. If you say the rosary in the divine will, he says it's always there. All your good works are never lost. See? All the prayers you've said, if you say them in the divine will, it's like a huge bank account, and it draws interest. That's a simple way to put some of that. Recall the words of Jesus about the fonts. He says, as the soul enters within the font of love by loving, it shakes the font. The waters of love, by being shaken, grow, overflow, and spread out through all the earth. Now think what this means. We're able to spread God's love to all the people of the world and touch their lives in marvelous ways through God's loving wishes, His divine will. And this applies to the other fonts of prayer, especially reparation for the sins of mankind. And this is something that will overwhelm you when you think of all the terrible sins. And he's giving us a way to help to repair for this that we haven't thought of. Like the chaplet of divine mercy, you say, Jesus, in your will, I pray the divine mercy chaplet that he's praying with you. Once used and offered, these acts performed in the divine will, in the font of reparation, pardon, forgiveness, go on producing the blessed effects down through time, because in God, in the divine will, they continue and never stop. Jesus also said these fonts can be shaken so strongly that the waves of goodness, love, glory, and praise rise up so high, and that's a quote now, so high as to touch heaven and spread out through the heavenly fatherland. How precious and powerful our acts done in the divine will become. How privileged we are to be able to assist Jesus in the salvation of souls and the renewal of the world, to bring joy even to heaven by our living and doing the divine will. Maybe this is something what René de Montfort saw, that he said, the souls who are truly living, now he meant always, see, with the gift that we have, We're in and out of it because we have our imperfections, our venial sins, and when we repent, then we're back into the God's will. But he's saying the souls that live constantly in the divine will then, at this time of the new Pentecost, then we will have souls that are so great in holiness. Now, is that because they're more heroic than John of the Cross and Teresa of Avila? I don't think so. I think it's only because God chose to give the gift now. He could have given it maybe 40, 50 years ago, and they would have been living in the divine will the way Jesus said. But it's a pure gift. He chooses to give it. And if he gives it, then we should say he shouldn't. See? That means we're privileged. How about all the saints of the Old Testament? They couldn't receive communion. And look at us. Now, did we deserve it? No. Now, if he chooses to give us the gift, take it. See? Because this is the time for it. But there are things there that are so deep, they make you think a lot. But pray. Pray this way. Let the Lord do what he says here. Would you rather see all souls on earth affected in some way for salvation rather than doubt this and do nothing about it? Why can't you say, Jesus and Mary, I love you? Don't say just souls. Say thousands of souls. How about that? Wait and see. You have a lot of company in heaven waiting for you. You can repent without going to confession. The simple act of sorrow and an act of love would remove it. Also, when you go to Mass and at the penitential rite, you acknowledge either resentment, bitterness, feelings of unforgiveness, and whatever, and the priest gives pardon, that's an absolution from venial sins. Okay? So, in other words, the sooner you get back into the Lord's graces again, the better, then you're in the divine will again. But also, too, once you make this consecration, if you never withdraw it, then you are being blessed. You're living the divine will, but not as good as it could be if you renewed that act actually throughout your day. See? Because then the gift of itself grows in you as you, before each action of your day, like get in the car, Jesus, in your will. You're doing the cooking, Jesus, in your will. Laundry, Jesus, in your will. Shopping, Jesus, in your will. Then you're growing more and more in that habit of being letting Jesus take over in your life. It'll also influence your thinking, see? And who knows how many graces that'll bring. With each act, he says, you grow in power. That means his power. Love, wisdom, and holiness. Each act. So he's delivering something that's fabulous here. And this is why he wants it known. And he says, nothing will stop this. Because for 6,000 years, I've waited for this. This is now the third period of what is called sanctification. The first period was creation. Then the second period was redemption. Now the new period, we're preparing for it, is called sanctification. Nothing will stop it. Because all the, since creation, he intended to be a state of innocence, he's going to restore it. So we're going to be part of it. 3 years to go. 2.5. Any questions?
You mentioned earlier this one book in particular that you felt was a good book to read or get to, as an introductory book. Which one was that?
Claire. It's called When the Divine Will Reigns in the Soul.
All right. Is this also the one that you suggested to give to priests?
Yes.
Okay.
See, that book has the right approach. It gives her life in brief. It also gives the authorization of the bishop approval. Then it gives the critique of theologians, of doctors of medicine, philosophy, and psychiatry. Okay? And then it's gradated. There's the early beginnings of growing of the divine will. And then as you proceed more and more, at least with all the volumes now available. But there are probably about 15 volumes that we don't have.
Yeah. Is this the reason
There are some that they're releasing, and one of them is volume 10. I don't have it today, but I will stock up since I came back from Florida. But one of the best ways to grow the divine was to pray that way. Pray that way. Now, remember, it's not what we're going to do that's going to do a great deal of good to the world. It's the love with which we do it. See, God will judge us not in deeds, but in love. Because if that's the case, then every bishop, he should be a heroic saint. Are they? Well, I leave that to God. Thank God. Every theologian, are they? It's not knowledge. So it's the love with which you do it. And this ties you in with God's will. God's will is His love. See? And He wants to take over in our life. So it's nothing we give Him when we pray this way. It's Him. He prays in us. We say, in Your will, I am nothing, You're everything. And He says, that's right, because I said without Me, You can't do it. But You're now allowing Me to do it. We can do all things together. So that's beauty. It's a very humble way to pray. You're saying, Lord, nothing that I'm going to say or do can impress You. It's what You're doing, Your holiness. Let it be You in me that pray. Then it's got to be good. Have I lost you? Have you come down space here? Better pull the parachute. Well, I hope it is, because I think even theologians will have to kind of sit back in awe and say, I've never heard anything like this, but I can't deny it either. See, this is God in His own explanation of Himself. And He's using words in a way that you've never heard. Well, He can do that. And He gave it to who? A humble woman that was very little education. And where could she study in 64 years in bed? But her life bears an authentic impression. See? Obedience, suffering, charity on a heroic scale, and approval of her bishop. And cardinals came to her, by the way. And Pope Pius X listened to a reading by her spiritual director, who for 17 years knew her, prepared her writings, and he took her revelations on the Passion of Jesus, read it to Pope Pius X, and he said to him, Blessed Hannibal was his name, he said, while you were standing, when you're reading something like this, you should be kneeling. That's how impressed he was. And he was a saint, Pius X. So, but the more we have of people who are sound in their teaching, informed, and scholars who can see the truth here, that will help. But the Lord doesn't have to have it. He didn't ask theologians to prove Fatima, did He? He picked three children. Our Lady did. Took a long while, though, the bishops to respond. 70 years. Yes.
What would be the best way to start a prayer?
There is a booklet that has come out on how to start that. And you might ask if they have one in Jacksonville. Okay. They have a booklet. I know the place in Marietta, Georgia, they also have editions that they put out in the Seneca and how to do it. But I would suggest, in other words, that you start with the prayers, the early prayers in that book on the praying in the divine will, and that you follow some of the prayers as part of the prayer session, and that you also read some of the early forms of the revelations that have to do with growing in the divine will, and if possible, listen to some of the tapes. That's one reason why I've recorded these tapes, to kind of enable you to move into a early form of living the divine will, and not turn it into a coffee clutch group. In fact, you don't even have to have refreshment. See, spend at least an hour and then go back home. Start simply, but read it faithfully, but also have a backup so that you're not giving your own opinion. But listen, and also maybe get a videotape. Some of the videotapes are put out. And whatever other tapes on the national conferences. They're good because you have priests that are at least very knowledgeable for years have studied it and have their opinion.
And you play these tapes during the prayer group?
Yes. Pray it for 15 minutes, let's say, bye. And then maybe talk about it. But always end with prayer, too. Decide on some form of prayer depending on the season. It could be a prayer of thanksgiving. Read it maybe from praying in the prayer book, The Divine Will. There are a number of prayers there, as you know. Mysteries of the Rosary, Stations of the Cross, Visits of the Blessed Sacrament, prayer before Mass, after Mass, and community time. Use it. That'll kind of fill you with the way of praying in the Divine Will. Okay? Any other questions?